We're going to be worshiping and praying later on, so don't think you're getting a short measure. Does anybody here want to do great things for God? Now, as it's Halloween, if I had a pumpkin, I'd hold a pumpkin. But the best I could come up with at home was a melon. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. It was in the fridge. A melon. Now, that's a large fruit. And I believe all of us want to bear fruit. Yes. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." And I guess all of us, therefore, want to do, in the name of Jesus, of course, but we want to do great things. We really want our lives to count. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
However, I should praise God in heaven there's no microphones. Here is another fruit. Just a little olive. And when you compare that with that, or even a pumpkin, it seems so small and insignificant. But I would prefer to bear that than that.
Yes.
What do you mean, yes? You don't know what I'm going to say yet. Just switch off the parrot, okay, and we'll be all right. Now, why would I want to produce that rather than that? Well, if you turn in your Bible to Psalm 52, you will see. Verse 8. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints. Now, what's David saying? David was a king. He knew how to rule and reign. God is looking for people to put in charge of cities.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But the man that had not only, I'll show you that in scripture in a moment, but the man who had charge of a nation, not just a city, was a man who delighted in the olive rather than the melon. Why is that? Well, you have something here that's very perishable. And you eat it and it's gone. Seems great at the time. But we're called to bear lasting fruit. And these wonderful things are not only good to eat, this is my second South Beach breakfast. Each tree over the years will bear millions of olives. And they will be pressed. Into olive oil. The anointing oil that lasts. This is extra virgin olive oil. That is the very finest, the first pressing of the best olives. That's what extra virgin means. When you buy, always get extra virgin. It's the finest. The last ages. Has a multiplicity of uses. Where does it come from? Hundreds, thousands of little olives. You see, we aspire to do great things for God. But a great thing is here today, gone tomorrow. I've seen God do many great things. They're wonderful memories. But what God wants is, like David, for our lives to be like the olive tree, constantly bearing a whole lot of small things. Because you see, it's in the small things that God is glorified. And Jesus said, if you prove faithful in little things, I will put you in charge of much. There are lots of people who aspire, oh God, I believe you're going to do great things in me, but they never prove faithful to producing the olives. And when you squeeze the olives, when you squeeze all those little things that are the product of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, you get the pure olive oil of the Spirit. And think about it. The plant produces this melon, which with the best will in the world, only three or four of us could eat. Whereas from one olive tree producing thousands of olives, think how many thousands of people could have at least a taste. Yes. So the Holy Spirit is in the detail. And our lives in the Spirit are full of opportunities. Amen. To love, to bless, to serve, to give, to encourage, yes, to stand in faith, to stand against the enemy, to overcome. Multiple ways, every day. And every time we do that, another olive appears on the tree. Amen. And God builds up the outworking of the anointing in our lives. This is much more flashy and showy. Yes, Lord, let everybody see what a great thing you do in me. But the humble olive tree is all over the Holy Land. Everywhere you go, just about, you see the olive tree. And God uses this as an analogy. He has grafted us into that tree in order that we may bear fruit. Hallelujah. That multiplicity of ways in which the Holy Spirit wants to work through our lives day by day as we depend upon Him. It's no bad thing to desire to do great things, to do great exploits. Scripture is clear about that. But you see, it's simply that God has this principle that those who He is going to use most are those who have proved faithful in the little things. You see, it matters to God when you obey. It matters to God every time you pray, every time you read His word, every time you speak a word of love and encouragement. Another olive is appearing on the tree. Every word you speak, every act you do in the power of the Holy Spirit produces another olive. Hallelujah. And when one season is fulfilled, God begins another season. And more olives, so that the next season will be even more productive than the last season. So your tree becomes more and more heavily laden. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 19. The parable of the 10 miners. I won't read the whole thing, but what happened when the king returned home and sent for the servants to whom he'd given the money to find out what they'd done with it. Verse 16. The first one came and said, "Sir, your miner has earned 10 more." "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." You see, why should God trust you in big ways if He can't trust you in small ways? God is not an idiot, as you've heard me say many times. And you should know from your dealings with people that if you can't trust a person in small ways, you certainly won't have the confidence to trust him with your life. So I know, having been in leadership for many years, that if I ask somebody to do something and they do it, maybe a very little thing, but they've proved trustworthy. So because they've proved trustworthy in that, I will on a subsequent occasion probably ask them to do something more. And if they're trustworthy in that, then I will have the confidence to ask still more. But if I or the college leadership say something, somebody disobeys that, one of the college rules, there aren't many of them, but one of the college rules, then I know that person is not trustworthy. I wouldn't put that person in charge of anything. Because, you see, the spiritual principle is this, that if you can't submit to authority, you can't be in authority. Because I'm the leader of the leaders here, I have to be the most submitted person to God that is here. Otherwise, I cannot fulfill God's call on my life. And you see, this is what it means to be faithful and trustworthy. You prove that to the Lord, to others, and to yourself in little ways. You know, God could wake you up in the middle of the night and say, get up and pray. Here, your whole relationship with Him is on the line. Are you going to prove trustworthy in this very little thing that God is asking of you? Could wake you up early in the morning and just say, come on, it's time to spend time with me. I will want your fellowship and your company. You can turn over and go to sleep, but you see, you've begun the day in an untrustworthy manner. And that's going to mark your day, actually. But you know, you respond to anything that the Holy Spirit says to you, and another olive is on the tree. I mean, you can be walking through Horsham some, and you know, there's just somebody there in the queue or somebody that you meet and encounter. God just says, just speak to that person, just say something to encourage you. You haven't got to try to bring them to the Lord. You just got to say the encouraging thing the Spirit gives you to say. And there's another olive on your tree. Because the Holy Spirit prompted you to do something and you did it. Absolutely. What happens when we've proved untrustworthy in something? Well, we've actually sinned against the Lord, so we need to get that right with Him. But of course, what He wants is always to break that pattern. So that from that time, having learned from our mistake, we become trustworthy people. It's actually difficult to find trustworthy people in the body of Christ. I found over the years that as people get raised up, put in positions of higher and higher responsibility, you trust them more and more. What then emerges from some is the secret agenda that they have been burying all that time. Yeah, they've been outwardly submissive, outwardly doing the small things. But actually what motivates them is a sense of grandeur and pride and doing great and mighty things. And at some point, that which is in them gets exposed. And you realize at that point that all along they've had their own agenda. Now you don't want people like that in leadership. Because actually they cause division. In the body. Always they cause division. These are the kind of people that will lead others after themselves. They will want a following. Are you hearing me? So it's very important that we are people that are found to be trustworthy in the small things. And here, Jesus is saying a remarkable thing. This servant had been simply trustworthy in the way he handled his finances. And God said, I'll put you in charge of 10 cities. Why? If you can handle your personal finances in an integrous way, then you will be able to handle the finances of 10 cities in a similar way. But if you can't handle your finances in a way that is obedient to me, then I'm not going to put you in charge of anybody else's finances or give you a position of responsibility where you can actually influence others' finances. So you see, tithing got nothing to do with the law, as we know. It was what came out of the heart of Moses, of Abraham, because he encountered the Lord. But you see, whether we tithe or not is actually a test of our integrity. It's as if God's saying, well, if you can't even give me a tenth when I allow you to have 90%, why should I trust you? And of course, trust or trustworthiness is something that comes from the character of the person. We're all confronted in the press and the news by one person in public life after another having things in their own personal private relationships exposed. And we get this myth that is a person's private life and it's got nothing to do with his public life. But if I can't trust somebody in their private life, why should I trust what they do in their public life? Because they're the same person. You don't become a different person in your public life and from your private life. If you're going to do secretive, deceitful things in your private life, you'll do the same in your public life. Because that's the sort of person you are. So why should God give anybody a big public ministry unless they prove faithful in their private relationship with him and in their personal walk with him? Oh, everybody will make mistakes. Everybody will sin. Everybody will fail. But it's a question of the heart, isn't it?
Yes.
It's where your heart is set, whether you really are living for the glory of God, whether you really do want the will and the purposes of God above your own. So that even when you step out of line, God can bring you back into line. Because he knows the nature of your heart. Okay, you may have got drawn temporarily into something that later you will regret, but God knows your heart. He knows whether we are trustworthy or not. And even the one, you see, who didn't make 10 but only 5, in verse 19, his master said, you take charge of 5 cities. Okay, you haven't got such a capacity as the one who can be in charge of 10 cities, but nevertheless, you prove faithful. You've got the right character. You prove faithful in the little things and the handling of your personal affairs. So I can trust you to have authority over the affairs of others. Are we learning something here? So, you know, there are different capacities. So we can't say, well, the guy with 10 cities was more integrous than the one with 5 cities. No, no. They are both people of integrity in the eyes of the Lord, but they have different capacities. If you like, different callings, different ministries. But both have proved trustworthy. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. A similar parable, but a bit different, the parable of the talents. Verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Now, before it was less and greater, here it's few and many. But the principle, of course, is the same. It's not just whether we are faithful in something that God says to us, but whether we are faithful, whether we're obedient, whether we go on consistently producing olives. Why? Because the olive harvest is made up of a multitude of these little acts of obedience, these little acts of trustworthiness. And God will cause the harvest in your life to grow. Now, you see, God has told us to prepare for a time of harvest. So it's no use sort of sitting back waiting for your melon. Waiting for God to do a great thing. What God wants you to be doing between now and next year is producing a great olive harvest. Because you see, his word is, you prove faithful in the harvest I want to produce in your life, then look at the harvest I will produce around you. Are we there? Now, one of the things that God is clearly saying to us is how important it is in this season to be faithful in prayer. So because that's the word of the Lord, our faithfulness in prayer produces olives. It's got nothing to do with whether you feel every time you pray you have a breakthrough, every time you meet with God or anything. The fact is that you pray. And every time you pray, you produce olives. And every time you need to be open to the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit as the Spirit of God is leading you. Now, as we pray, the Lord has also made it clear that we are to be overcoming the enemy, not fighting against him, but actually proclaiming the victory that he has already won over the principalities and powers of darkness. We are more than overcomers because we're not overcoming, we are actually proclaiming the victory of the one who has already overcome. So, we want to see God overcoming in this nation. We want to see the false gods and the false prophets and all the false things that are being decreed and spoken over our nation pulled down. So, the word of the Lord to us is, get all the false things out your tree. How can you have effect in great things if you're not exercising authority over the little things in your own life? Are we getting this? You see, how do you grow in authority? You grow in authority by exercising it. But God doesn't take a private and make him a general. That's it. He has to work his way up through the ranks. And when does he get promotion? When he's proved faithful in doing what he's supposed to be doing at his present level of authority, then he is given more authority and more authority and more authority. Well, we know that God has given us all authority, yes, but the manner in which we can exercise that will be dependent upon the way we exercise authority at the level at which we are now, so that God can cause more of his authority to be expressed through us. What you understand from this is that even the generals in God's army are going to be humble before him. Why? Because he says he lifts up the humble. He raises up the humble. He promotes the humble. Who is the one who resists what God is saying? Whether it's said directly or said through others or said through the word said by the Spirit. However, the one who is proud. And God says that he resists the proud. He even pulls them down. Now, I don't want God to be resisting me. But listen, if God resists me, the demonic powers can resist me. Why? Because pride is the enemy's language. It's not kingdom language, it's the enemy language. Why does God resist the proud? Because pride comes from the enemy. It comes from the flesh, but it's inspired by the enemy. Why do we want to do these great and mighty things? For the glory of God or out of pride? I mean, you know what the right answer is, but God knows the heart. And because God knows the heart, he always knows what motivates us. You see, the real test is this. Are we prepared to be faithful and obedient to God if nobody else sees it? Nobody else knows about it. We don't get any plaudits from other people. We don't get any thanks. But you know, and he knows, you've been faithful to him. You've been obedient to the little things, and there's more olives on your tree. It was the Pharisees who wanted everybody to see their good works. So when they were going to give money to the poor, somebody would go in front of them with a bell. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Here comes Pharisee Jacob. And look, he's got his purse of money. He's got swags of it in the bank, but here's his little purse of money. Watch him. Ding, ling, 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 ling. He's distributing to the poor. Oh, what a fine Pharisee. And God says, or words to that effect. You spelt that wrong, Jonathan. No, that was the future message. For sure. I mean, stuff like that doesn't even register on God's account. What you've got is not an olive, but a stone. You notice that olive I ate didn't have a stone in it. I'm no fool. Well, we want the stones taken out of anything that we do and bear fruit to God, because it's only the olive itself that produces the oil. But now, consider this. Consider this. The oil is in the fruit. I was saying the other day, when you get squeezed, when you get pressed, what comes out? God wants oil to come out. Because there's so much fruit. Little, seemingly inconsequential things, but acts of love, acts of grace, acts of mercy. Quick to forgive, as Pastor Clive was saying on Sunday. No stony hearts, no hard hearts, no resisting, expressing the mercy of God because He has been so merciful to us. Let that be the longing and desire of your heart, simply to bear olives. If God gives you some melons along the way, hallelujah. So long as in between the melons, you're producing olives. I told you that cross was given me when I saw somebody raised from the dead. The pastor of the church was just wanted that. And you know, God had said to me, whatever I believed in the scripture, I would see. I believed that I would raise the dead, so God gave me that melon. It's the only time I've had that particular melon so far. Because I've never been in another situation where that is what the Spirit of God wanted to do. It's nice to know that I've seen that melon, but I mean, that's a melon. I'm not going to sort of sit around and say, well, because I saw such a great thing once, then the integrity of my ministry has gone downhill unless I see more people being raised from the dead. I mean, that's crazy. That's God has called me to a totally different ministry now in this season than what I've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years. I'm very happy about that. I'm happy to do whatever God asks me to do. If people now don't see, if I'm not on public platforms all the time and speaking to thousands of people every week, that doesn't worry me. That doesn't worry me at all. If I'm not publishing a book every year that goes right to the top of the bestsellers list in the Christian market just because it's a book I've written, I mean, that's not happening now because I'm not writing books like that now. But that doesn't worry me so long as I'm producing olives. Amen. So long as I'm doing what the Spirit of God is wanting me to do. Yes. Because the olives will become very much more effective and actually influential than just the odd melon. The melons, those who are there to see the melon, might go, ooh, ah, how wonderful, but it's history. But when you produce olives, other people are going to get blessed, and they're going to get blessed in a lasting way because you can produce lasting oil. If this stays in this bottle, it could stay for years and years and years, and still you'd be able to use it. And you see, it's through the olives that you produce that the anointing will flow into other people's lives. They might go, ooh, ah, what a great thing, when they see the great thing. But what you want is for your life to have a lasting effect upon others. And God wants to raise many of you up in leadership. How is he going to raise you up in leadership? By proving faithful in little things. By being faithful in few things. So that he can trust you with more and more and more. So that he can trust you to have influence over others. You see, those of you that come here to the college to be trained, I consider it a tremendous privilege to be able to speak into other people's lives, not just at a meeting and then be gone, but over a period of months to be forming lives that are going to be used for God in the future. That's a tremendous privilege, but it's a tremendous responsibility. It's a tremendous responsibility before God. And so I have to do what the Word of God says, and that's to speak, to build up, to encourage, and to discipline. To admonish. That's all part of what you have to do according to the Word of God when you're in leadership. And you don't take any of those things lightly because you know it's a great responsibility before God. But how do you get to be given that responsibility? Well, God entrusts you with it. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that those who are over you in the Lord will get everything right and be perfect on every occasion. It's just that they're probably more right than you are. Because they've learned a few more things and God has raised them up into the positions of ministry that they're in. Listen, anyone who raises himself up, it won't be long before his ministry collapses. He might get away with it for a little while because of what he has seen operating in others, and he would try to imitate them. But it won't be long before the lack of integrity in his own life, the lack of anointing or the lack of calling or whatever, gets exposed. And then you'll hear of him no more. So what concerns me now is not just what fruit you're going to bear in the future, but that we respond to the word of the Lord now. We are going to see harvest next year. But the harvest begins here. And God is dealing with the olive trees in this orchard at this moment. Amen. And he wants us to be trustworthy through and through. Because then he can take a fruitful people and use them to produce a fruitful people. In a much wider context. If we prove faithful in prayer, in exercising authority over the enemy, in our own lives, and as the Spirit leads us over the powers of darkness in the nation, even, and among the nations, then God is preparing the way for what he's going to do among the nations. But, just to finish with, this is a liberating word. Because actually God isn't calling you to do great things. He's calling you to produce olives. And your effectiveness will be the accumulation of all those fruit. All the fruit that you produce. Hallelujah. What you want are the branches of your tree to be weighed down that there's so much fruit. I don't know whether you've ever seen people harvesting the olives. But, I mean, just depending where you are, more sophisticated places, they have a great big sort of sheet-like thing around the tree. In less sophisticated places, people are holding sheets around the tree, and somebody shakes the tree. And when the tree is shaken, all the olives fall into the sheet. Hallelujah. Just a little shaking, because they're ripe now and ready. Just a little shaking, and all the fruit is collected. So what's God doing? He's forming the fruit now, see. He's forming fruit now. And next year, it won't need a violent shaking. It'll just need a little shaking of the tree. And all these thousands and thousands. And you know, each one of those olives could represent someone that's going to be reached for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So it's wonderful. Don't think that you've got to outdo others in great exploits. There's only one way in which the New Testament says you are aimed to outdo others, and that's in love. But if your aim is to outdo everybody else in love, let me tell you, you're going to have a heavily laden tree. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purata pakara satu. Come on, thank the Lord that He's called you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I want to bear much fruit for your glory. I want to be like an olive tree in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I want to be like that olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. Because I trust in your unfailing love forever and ever. Lord, I want to produce so many olives that are full of the oil of your Spirit. They're the works of your Spirit. They may be small things, Lord, but because they're the works of the Spirit, they're works of love, they're works of grace, they're works of faith, they're works, Lord, of obedience to the leading of your Spirit in my life. I want to bear, a whole harvest of those olives, Lord. Purata pakara zatuba. Barata barazatari eleto bokarasitri satuba. Lord, I believe that along the way you'll give me some melons, but it's the olives that I want to produce in the things I say and the things I do and the way I relate every day of my life. I want to prove trustworthy, Lord, in little things. I want people to know that I'm trustworthy. I want people to be able to trust me. I want them to be able to know that I'm faithful, that I will do whatever you ask me to do, that I'm not all mouth and no action. But Lord, I love not in word, but in deed. Paratabarazataria letto bacarasitri satuba.
Barata parazato bakara sitri satuba. Barata parazato bakara sitri sanduma. O paparazato bakara sitri satuba. Borata parazato bakara sitoba. Now, Lord, I want any fruitless branches in my olive tree to be cut out so that more of the life of that tree can flow into the fruitful branches and bear still more fruit. Lord, I pray any ways in which I have not been trustworthy, just show me them, Lord, by your grace. Let me turn aside from those things, away from those things, that I will prove faithful in every little thing. Lord, I know you've given me personally great responsibility, but I know how I still have to be faithful in the little things. That I don't only have to be faithful in the bigger things, but still in the little things, Lord. And I don't even want a little thing in my life that is not submitted to you. Beloved, today's the time to turn away from anything that is unfruitful because it's unfaithful to what God asks of you. Poratapakaya. O ratapakala sotapa. The faithful will do what he says. We'll go where he leads. Without regard of the cost, really. Because the motive of love for Jesus leads them to be obedient. Can you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to prove by my actions to be trustworthy. I want you to be able to trust me. And I want others to be able to trust me. Now, anything you've confessed to the Lord, he's forgiven you for. Now you put those things behind you. If you think, you know, if you're under some kind of conviction this morning, then let this be a new beginning. Let it be, turn the page, start a new chapter, and say, okay, Lord, from this time, I'm going to depend upon your grace. I'm going to depend upon your Holy Spirit to enable me to bear much fruit. All these little things that I will prove faithful in all through every day. Lord, I'm daring to believe that by the end of every day, there are many more olives on my tree than when I started the day. And Lord, I won't get proud about that because I recognize they are all the work of your Spirit and every olive is full of oil because it's what you have worked in me and through me. And I give you glory, Lord. I give you honor. I give you praise. Poratabarazato Bokarasitri Satuba. Baratabarazatari Leto Bakarasitaba. Baratabarazatari Leto Bakarasitri Sandama. Boratabarazatari Leto Bakarasitri Satuba. Now, Lord, you preached in pictures. And I pray that this picture will live with every one of us for the rest of our days. That we will all aspire to be heavily laden olive trees. And that every time you shake us, there will be a harvest. Hallelujah. That others will be able to gather and people will be fed. Oh, by your truth, by your life, by your love, by your power, by your goodness, by your kindness. That is flowing out of us and flowing through us. That our light will shine before men and they will see our good works. That if they shake us, what they get is good works. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Puratabarazatu bukarasitadisatuba. Baratabarazatu bukarasitadisaratu bukarasatuba. Baratabarazatuba. Now, Lord, no birds of the air are going to touch the olives on my tree. The devil is not going to rob me of anything you want to produce through me. And I proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ right now over anything and everything, over every false spirit, everything that would come against me. Nothing is going to lead me away from your purposes, from your plans. Nothing is going to inspire pride within me so that you have to withstand me and resist me. No, Lord, by your grace, I want to remain humble before you so you can lift me up, so you can give me greater and greater responsibility. And I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you praise. I bless you, Jesus. Purata parazatu bakarazitoba. Barata parazatu bakarazitoba. Now, Lord, we thank you for that spirit of truth who lives in us, that spirit of truth who works through us. And we come against every false god that is seeking at this time to have influence in this nation. Our God is the God of gods. He is the God over every spirit, every false spirit. We proclaim the lordship of Jesus Christ over this land. We come against every false spirit and we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our prophet, priest, and king. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and he rules and reigns supreme. We come against every false religion that cannot bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we see there are so many religious trees around and they're all fruitless. And Lord, we thank you that as we withstand all the influences of those false things and as we speak the truth over our nation, so we're going to see people being liberated from their bondage, liberated from deception. We're going to see a mighty harvest. And we give you glory, we give you honor and praise. We bless you, Jesus. And nothing false shall come into our lives. We stand against every spirit of deception in the name of Jesus. And we embrace the spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth, who will take the things of Jesus and declare them to us. And we give glory, honor, and praise to our mighty God and King. Paratabarazatu bakarasitrisatuba. Paratabarazatu bakarasitrisatuba. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Just say this after David. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love. Forever and ever. I will praise forever.
I will
for all that you have done. In your name I will hope.
For your name is good.
And I will praise you in the presence of your saints. Hallelujah! Come on, let's praise the Lord. Yes! 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 Yes, 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 yes! Keep confessing it over your life. I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful day.